The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for joining us today on Exploring the Word as we go through the parables of Jesus. And we're looking forward to this. This is a little bit different. We usually go through a book, but Alex and I were talking, as he said yesterday, and we said, let's go through the parables of the Lord Jesus. And so we're starting in Matthew 13 because there's quite a collection there in that one chapter that we can go through. And they all have something in common. Notice the word, if you read it, about sowing. We know about yesterday, the sower goes through sowing good seed. Well, we're going to find about another sower who sows bad seed. Alex, I'm really looking forward to this today. And by the way, it's a day of prayer, so Tuesday. We always look forward to Tuesday. Tuesday's become very, very special, hasn't it?
Well, amen. We love to pray on Tuesday. And if you've got a prayer request, later on, we'd love to hear it. And, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But, I'm glad because, Bert, we're always talking about what we're going to teach on Exploring the Word later on. I think this summer we'll probably do Malachi, which we haven't done in about 11 or 12 years. And, it dawned on me that I didn't think that we had gone through all the parables. Now, Jesus taught over 30 parables. And in fact, in the Bible, there are at least 100 parables total. But it's an earthly story to convey a heavenly truth. It's something earthly and relatable that people could relate to and understand. Yesterday, we talked about the seed of the gospel sown. But later on in Matthew 13, there is the parable of the wheat and the tares. And Bert, do you want to pick it up there at like verse 24?
That's where we start. And Okay. Again, do this. Notice who all sows the seed. This is going to be really important. And let's read this. I'll just read this parable, 24 right. through 30. Now, later on, starting in verse 36, he's going to explain this one. So it's really good. All we have to do is go to Jesus' explanation, and we don't have to worry about too much. But listen to this. Another parable he put forth to them. Now, again, this is the multitude. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. It talks about the multitudes who were there listening, and he was gathering them together. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." This is so important. "And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Alex, again, this is so significant. Again, the first three parables that Jesus talks about, sowing the good seed, and it landed on the four different soils. Then the enemy coming and sowing bad seed in the good seed that had been sown. And then I'm looking ahead a little bit, verses 31 and 32 is talking about sowing the mustard seed. So Jesus is really concentrated on sowing. Let me say this, throw it back to you. Whenever you find out what God is doing, bringing people to himself, when God is doing, Satan is always going to give a counterfeit, isn't he?
Well, he really is. He really is. There's an old saying, bad seed. Somebody that's just prone to doing the wrong and trouble, You know, it's an old saying, but they'll say, yeah, it's just bad seed. Hey, Bert, let me, I'm going to give you some words and tell me what you think of this list of words like result or consequence or outcome or harvest or wages. What do you think of when you hear words like that?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was the bottom line.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the results. It's what is going to really happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. At the bottom of the page, I mean, you work through your math and the sum, the outcome. Well, in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. The payoff. You know, you work a job. At the end of the week, you get a wage or a result or a reward. And if you live a life and that life is sin without salvation, the wage, the payoff, there's no saying, somebody will say, well, he's gone on to his reward. And it doesn't say he's gone on to the reward because the rewards are different. There's, for the believer, salvation and crowns in heaven. But for the one who rejects Christ, there's lostness and condemnation, and the Bible calls that hell. And when I think about this, and I want to come back to verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is like a man which sowed good seed in his field. The good seed is the gospel of Jesus and hearts that receive it.
Yeah.
But while they were sleeping, an enemy came, verse 25, and that enemy is Satan. And Bert, really, there's this, we've said sometimes the evil triumvirate, the world, the flesh, and the devil,
yep.
And sowed tares, T-A-R-E-S. And by the way, let me just say this, and I know I'm really showing my age here, but growing up on a farm, we had a few different scales. And so if you were doing a scale, you had to figure in the weight of the container. And it was called the tare, T-A-R-E. And you could move this slider to even with the a bushel basket on a scale, it would balance. Now, here's the thing. In the bushel basket goes the harvest. And I've picked beans, and I've picked squash, and I've picked cucumbers, and a lot of vegetables. The tare, T-A-R-E, is something that is not the fruit in the basket. Now, what am I saying? The fruit of the good seed is salvation and righteousness, and the tares are what is not the good seed or the fruitful harvest, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so sowing something false in God's field of truth and his revelation, that's what Satan has done from the beginning. He's the father of lies. And I don't know, maybe I love the parable so much, Bert, because I did come out of an agricultural background. But you can relate. And here's the question. If the harvest day were today, what has the fruit of your life produced? Did you accept Jesus and bear fruit for him? Did you reject Jesus, or you're saying, oh, I'll get around to that eventually? Bert, the day of harvest that we appear before the Lord, that could be any day, couldn't it?
Any day. We do not know what a day may bring. Don't presume. The sin of presumption is a terrible sin. Notice it is a field. A field is one that has been prepared. So what we find out in the first parable, he went on his way and threw the seed at different places. Some of the seeds landed on soil that was not prepared. But in this instance, when you see the word field, it is a prepared field. And notice it took root. It brought forth. So does the enemy sit down and say, okay, well, I messed that one up? No. What does he do? He goes and sows a counterfeit. There's counterfeit Christians. There's a counterfeit gospel. There's a counterfeit church over in Revelation 2:9. The church at Smyrna is called the synagogue of Satan. And one day there'll be a counterfeit Satan, the Antichrist. So the enemy comes and sows tares. It's weeds, okay? Weeds among the wheat and went his way. And again, notice both of them sprouted, but they could tell the difference. Now, when I read this, I can't help. I grew up on a farm as well. Did y'all ever grow corn, Alex, on your
own? Oh, for about 50 years.
Oh, okay.
A little while.
Well, we grew some corn, not that much, but this is before they had chemicals that could keep all the weeds and out. And I remember this till this day. I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and we were cleaning out the corn. And we had a skip, and right in the middle of this skip, there was something that I thought was a corn stalk starting to grow. And, man, I got all the grass around it. I got it ready. And, man, I said, well, that stalk of corn's going to have some space to grow because, you know, is not on either side. And my dad was not far away, and he came along, and he just took his hoe and chopped it down. And I said, Dad, what in the world? And he said, son, you need to learn the difference between Johnson grass and corn.
Amen.
And
amen.
Guess what? Yes. I learned that day. I always could look and see. So sometimes, Alex, it may be like Judas Iscariot. Okay, he was one of the 12, but Jesus said, one of you will betray me. Okay? And according to what the Bible says, they began to look at each other and say, is it I? Is it I? No one specifically said, we've been knowing this a long time. It is Judas. So some of those tares, some of those weeds that's in the field that is producing the fruit, they may be so like the others in similarity, the way the Johnson grass was to the corn stalk. But the expert knows. Who's the expert of the heart? It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it?
Exactly. God knows the heart. I mean, he really does. And that's why the Bible says, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. I mean, really. And I don't say this to cause doubt, because if you've trusted Christ according to God's word, you can have assurance. And God wants us to have assurance and confidence. But if you're hearing, you know, gospel teaching like this and you say, what if I'm a tare, not wheat? Well, then examine yourself, and you can know that you know. And so if you've not made sure that you have Jesus Christ in your life, then by all means call out to him today, and he will receive you. Bert, I got to say in verse 24 before we move on that one of the wonderful things about the gospel, a very unique thing, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, and very often Jesus would say, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A lot of scholars, and I think about Josh McDowell and Gary Habermas, have pointed out that something that makes Jesus' teaching unique is the teaching of the kingdom of God. And there is not only, let me just say this. The kingdom of God, there are a lot of aspects to Christ's teaching on the kingdom of God, how to get into the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God, the economics, if you will, of the kingdom of God, of rewards, and the permanence of the kingdom of God. I'm thinking of a show you and I ought to record, maybe. But here's my point. Thousands of religions do this, don't do that. The should and the shouldn'ts. Jesus is inviting you to become part of his coming eternal kingdom. And every kingdom has a king.
Amen.
In the kingdom of heaven, it's King Jesus.
No one but Jesus. He is the one and only. So we're going to come back and look at the rest of this and maybe jump into the one about the mustard seed. We'll see how far we get.
It's been 4 years since the overturn of Roe, but tragically, abortions have continued to rise. Today, the abortion pill accounts for more than 60% of all abortions, and last year alone, over 1.1 million babies lost their lives. That's why the work of Preborn Network Clinics is more urgent than ever. Every day, mothers facing unplanned pregnancies walk through Preborn's doors searching for hope. Instead of pressure and fear, they're met with love. Through a free ultrasound, mothers meet their baby for the very first time.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Just $28 sponsors one ultrasound. $140 helps rescue five babies. To donate, dial hashtag 250 and say baby. That's hashtag 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/Bert Harper. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
For the child of God is far from home, the one who thinks they're too far gone, I'm throwing out another prayer in vain. Worn out altars, tear-stained pews, still I won't give up on you. I believe that anything can change when somebody prays.
Amen. Things Amen. Change when somebody prays. And we're going to pray later on today, and we invite you to share your prayer request and the number, and we'll get to it in the next segment, but I'm going to go ahead and give it. Maybe you want to write it down. It's 888-589-8840. Bert, we have gotten so much response. It's, I know, over a year since Brent Austin had the idea that we devote one day to praying. And we take Bible questions too every day, but, you know, we largely on Tuesdays we pray. And overwhelmingly, we've gotten emails and feedback from people who say, thank you so much. You're praying for my prayer requests, and that's a great encouragement to me. So we do love to share, and we've got quite a number of matters of prayer, not the least of which is to pray for our country as we approach our 250th birthday. We are so, so blessed in the United States of America, and I do hope you're praying for revival in America. But Bert, before the break, we were talking about in Matthew 13, 24 through 30, and this particular parable closes out where Jesus says, the wheat and the tares, let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The kingdom of heaven, which in verse 30 Jesus calls my barn. This is a unique teaching that there's not just some amorphous, vague afterlife or, you know, cosmic, you know, the sea of nothingness. That's what the New Agers used to talk about. No, there is a kingdom, and it's going to be very ordered, wonderfully joyful forever. You know, Bert, you and I have talked through the book of Genesis, and there's the Garden of Eden. And Eden really means paradise or enjoyment. And the kingdom of God is really going to be like Eden restored, isn't it?
It really is, and it's going to be a grand day. I was talking to someone earlier today, texting back and forth, and they were talking about their wife already in heaven and talking about today's their anniversary would have been, but there's going to be a reunion one day when he makes his way and will be there with the Lord Jesus. It's going to be a great day. Well, this before we go to the mustard seed real quick, I want to read verses 37 through 43 real quick, because it explains what that every once in a while Jesus would explain one of the parables, and it helped his apostles that were close there to carry it on in knowing how to preach the word. And notice what it says. The people said, explain us the parable. And Jesus said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Another name for Jesus. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. This is a little bit different, but, and Alex alluded to that when he was talking about, yes, the gospel, the seed of the gospel, but when the seed of the gospel goes into man, that man is planted in his kingdom for purpose. And it says, but the tares are the sons of who? The wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. Now listen to this. This is so important. And the harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, there it is, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom, all things that offend and those who practice and lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the son of the kingdom of their father. Who has ears, let them hear. One more thing before we get into the other one. I read that. You may want to say more about it. But notice it was talking about it. And while they were sleeping is when the enemy came in and sowed the tares. Alex, what does that say about those of us who are the true seed of God? I think the book of Jude talks about we need to beware of those in Satan, yes, who Satan uses to talk about a false gospel, a false righteousness. And so don't be sleeping, spiritually sleeping. Be alert, be on guard to see what you know. You don't want to let the enemy slip in on you and your territory, do you?
Well, you've heard the old phrase, such and such was asleep at the switch, you know, meaning somebody wasn't paying attention and they let somebody get through, and not a good thing. You know, I think about this, Bert, that the good seed, you know, we just did Ephesians, and in, I believe it was Ephesians 2, verse 3, it says that prior to salvation, we were by nature children of wrath, you know? Now, in verse 38 of Matthew 13, well, Jesus, 37, 38, he who soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares, T-A-R-E-S, are the children of the wicked one. Children of the wicked one. I mean, you think about that. If you, if God is not your father, well, the devil is. If you're not of the Spirit, you're of the flesh. And if you're not of salvation, Ephesians 2, 3 says you're children of wrath. Bert, everybody is part of a family. And we're all human beings, but I mean in a spiritual sense. And that's the everlasting sense. And that's why in John 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And being good, trying to be moral, giving donations, being charitable, that won't do it. Good works won't do it. To be part of God's family, the church, the redeemed of the Lord, you have to turn to Christ and put your faith in him, and you will instantly be born again if you'll turn to Christ, and you just ask him. And Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you have to ask. And Bert, I know you've probably heard sermon illustrations about maybe somebody, a baseball game, somebody ran the bases and came all the way to home plate, but it wasn't a run because they missed first base. Step one, the foundation, first base, if you will, it's being born again. And there's nothing that can substitute for that.
Nothing, absolutely. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, listen to this. No one comes unto the Father except through him. There's not an alternate route. There's not a plan B. There's only Jesus. And it's not rules to keep. It's a relationship that brings forth change in a person's life. Alex, again, one more thing that I really, you know, different things stood out on this, but I couldn't help but think about the eternal when it says at the end of this age in verse 40, okay? At the end of this age, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, guess what? Judgment. Mm-hmm. God knows there's nothing hidden. Darkness is not hidden from God. He sees in the darkness just like we would see in the light, only he sees even better. And I don't want to make it, you know, too easy, but it's like he has x-ray vision to our thoughts, okay? Mm-hmm. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Several times in the Gospels, Jesus would be speaking, and it interrupts, and it says, and he knew what everybody was thinking. Mm-hmm. That is always amazed me. The reason he could answer, well, I'm putting it in my language, the reason he could answer their questions before they ask him is because he knew the question before they asked him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so here is the Lord Jesus at the end of the age. He said, now listen, it may look this way for a while. It may look this way even at death, but the real judgment is going to come at the end of the age when he judges the living and the dead. So what you are saying, we're not trying to make this hard. trust Jesus Christ and have life. But don't just be like the demons did in the book James. It says they believed and they trembled. In other words, they had head knowledge. They knew Jesus was the Son of God. They knew all the facts. Knowing the facts is not knowing him. It's like I could read a book about Winston Churchill, and I could know something about when he was born, who he married, when he died, where he's buried. I could know a lot of facts. But regardless of how many facts I knew about him, guess what? I didn't know him. The Bible talks about not knowing the facts about Jesus. It talks about knowing him in a real personal way, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think this is so fascinating. And I know we've got a lot of ground to cover. I don't mean to put the car in reverse, but can we go back a little bit?
Let's go back. We don't have to get to the mustard seed. We can say that. Go ahead, man.
Well, you know, 31 through 33, in many Bibles, there'll be perhaps a paragraph break. 31 and 32 and 33 is different. But I've been doing a lot of study and getting ready for this. A parable Jesus put forth, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And I've said this in a number of shows in years past, that we actually grew mustard greens on the farm. We really did. We were predominantly raising chickens, selling eggs. For 68 years, we had this farm. And we grew a lot of corn. We did. But we began to grow collard. I'm showing my southernness here. Collard greens, turnip greens, spinach, and yes, mustard greens. They're really good in cold weather, by the way. And I know firsthand because mustard seeds are tiny, like a tiny grain of sand, but they can grow very, very large, and they're really good. And you got to put a big old piece of bacon or a ham hock in there and make it nice and greasy.
Alex, you're making some folks lick their lips that I'm looking at here in the studio. Go ahead, though.
Let me tell you, folks, I grew up among great Southern cooks, my mother, my grandparents, and now Angie. But anyway, it says, the least of all seeds, a tiny, tiny little mustard seed. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree. A big, huge bush, and they can really do that, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, the big mustard plant with many limbs and many places is really the church, many have said. And look, there's lots of branches of Christendom, but we all have it in common that we accept that the Son of God paid our sin debt on the cross and rose from the dead. But right there, you go from 32 to 33, another parable he spoke unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And this might be like three measures of meal. Some have wondered if this was like, you know, enough flour to make bread, maybe a gallon and a half of flour or meal. Leaven virtually always means sin, and a little leaven goes throughout the entire lump of dough. Okay, here's my point. Birds generally represent something evil. In the case of Joseph in the book of Genesis, the baker that had a vision, and the birds took bread out of a basket, and Joseph said, you know, you're going to lose your life. All right, birds lodging in the big mustard tree. If the mustard tree is like the kingdom of God and the church, and birds lodging in it, potentially, and Bert, if I'm pushing this too far, you push back. False doctrine. There are tares among the wheat, but there's also falsehood among the truth. You know, there are people that make a false profession of faith. There are, just because somebody's in church doesn't mean they've been born again yet. And there are some people in church that are seeking and hopefully finding Jesus. There's some people in the church that are there to infiltrate. Well, there is sound doctrine, but there's also heresy. And there's the clear, accurate exposition of God's word, and there's also false teaching. Bert, is there any connection between the birds in the mustard tree and the leaven in the otherwise pure quantity of dough.
I believe you're right, and I'd even go further back. The tares, the birds, and the yeast.
Mm.
They're all there. Again, God doing a great work. Anytime you see God do a great work, regardless when, where, or how, like in the book of Nehemiah, they were building that wall. But guess what? There were some people on the inside, not just the people on the outside pushing. Satan was raising up his people.
Again, the naysayers.
They are. They're there. And so here, these the tares are the weeds, the birds, and now the leaven, the yeast. They're there to what? Try to counteract, to draw the attention away. It's just like the sin of Lucifer in heaven. I will raise up my life. I'll raise up myself. So anytime you hear about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, guess what Satan is going to try to do? Have his kingdom. Now, it's a kingdom of darkness, because the Bible talks about these spiritual wickedness in where? High places. And so what you have here is what you have in this chapter 13, all the way through at least verse 43, is this the gospel going out, changing lives, praise God, but Satan coming along even after those that did receive Christ. He wants to sow discord among the brethren. So, Alex, I think all three of those have something in common, brother. I think you're exactly right.
Amen. Verse 34 and 35. All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. In other words, in front of this group, he's just teaching these spiritual truths through earthly illustration. And this was a fulfillment of prophecies about him, that he would speak in parables. Well, we're going to come back, and we're going to take your prayer requests, Bible questions, too, if you've got one, 888-589-8840. Call us, and we'll pray for each other and pray together. We'll be back after this.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. 2 Corinthians 4, 7.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing.
Amen. That's our song that introduces this day of prayer each Tuesday when we take time out and pray for those that need our prayers, that would call in and request them. And we had one just recently sent. Brent was reading it to us at the break, and I wanted to share that first off. Gerald called. He's a good friend. He and his wife, Doris, they're prayer partners. They pray each day that we have prayers. They pray with us. But their prayer request is for Dr. Gail Alexander. And Brother Gail is a former board member at AFR. He pastored First Baptist Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. He's done interim work. He's a dear friend of mine, and he and his wife are dear friends of mine and Jan's. So we want to pray for Dr. Gail Alexander. He's had a pacemaker put in. Understand it was today. So, Alex, I want to add that to this. We'll add others to that, but he's a godly Amen. Man. Just love him and the Lord.
Amen. Yesterday, I mentioned Jenny Clapp, who is the wife of my pastor, Dr. Lawrence Clapp, South Elm Street Baptist in Greensboro, North Carolina. We've been members there for 20 years, and Jenny just found out that she has a very severe brain tumor, and I don't quite know what they're going to do. I mean, they just found out a few days ago. But if you think of Jenny Clapp, and also we have a neighbor, a dear elderly Christian lady named Ruth. Ruth Huff is her name. She was in a pretty bad car wreck. She is recovered well, except that somehow or another the nerves to her feet and one of her hands, they're just not working. Her arms and hands are becoming more and more mobile, but we're just praying for her to be able to walk again. And it's not like she's, you know, paralyzed like a spinal cord injury, but for some reason she hasn't really completely recovered. And if you think of praying for Ruth Huff, I'd be very grateful.
Well, we got three right here, and I'm adding Dwayne Guin, who we prayed for yesterday as well. So let me lead us in prayer for these, and then we'll go to the phone lines.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for friends that love their friends, that love them enough to pray for them, ask others to pray for them. And Father, I'm praying right now that you would be with Gail. What a godly man, just a great preacher of your word, and just we thank God for him. And I pray you'd be with he and Kalia right now. Strengthen them, Father, and may he be restored and have more years of preaching your word. I pray for Miss Jenny Clapp, Father, a pastor's yes. wife. What a job that is. And we know that, and we pray, Father, for that to be taken care of, that tumor. And Father, that you would see what people would do and they would know how to treat it. But more than anything, we ask you to put her in your hands, heal her, bring her through, Father, and may you get the glory. And we're also praying for Ruth Huff, Father.
Yes.
We just found this out, a neighbor, and I'm praying, God, her healing. And for Dwayne, Father, that we prayed for yesterday, we're the whole church, as they gathered around the altar last Sunday at Ozark, where I'm interim pastor. I wasn't there that day, but they gathered around the altar, just so many praying and seeking you, a well-loved man. I pray you'd be with his wife, Jennifer, Father. Strengthen them, and we're trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bert, thank you very, very much. We're going to begin in Arkansas. Jim in Arkansas, thank you for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, I've got a question, and maybe y'all can answer this. Abortion to me is a damnation. It's the devil's work. Even if it's I don't want to say the word retarded, but even if the baby's messed up, It's wrong. And I have friends on in Facebook. Should I keep my mouth shut, or should I say it's wrong? It's a killing of a life. What am I wrong, or just keep my mouth shut?
Hey, I think you better open your mouth for truth, Alex. Try to do it in a way, speak the truth in love, but we're to speak truth, aren't we?
We really are. I mean, as a Christian, I am vehemently opposed to abortion because it is the unjust taking of a human life. But as an American, I've often asked people this when they'll say, you know, don't force your Christianity on me. I'm like, okay, Christianity aside, what other constitutional rights do you enjoy withholding unjustly from other American citizens?
Amen.
And they'll say, What do you mean? Abortion is unconstitutional because our Constitution guarantees legal protection for the right to life. And, I mean, science has shown personhood. Life begins at the moment of conception. So, you know, when Kamala Harris was campaigning last year, she repeatedly would refer to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. She was leaving off 30% of our Constitution, the right to life. So when somebody, even misinformed Christians, say, well, I'm for abortion, really? What other constitutional rights do you plan on unjustly Amen. Withholding from other citizens?
So, Jim, that means you keep it up, brother, and speak. They need to hear truth, whether they want to hear it or not, and ensure I think it's not only your right, I think it's the right thing to do. Alex, where to?
Missouri. Dennis in Missouri, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I like to listen to y'all as often as I can. My concern is I asked the Lord to be my Lord and Savior years ago, and I still I get troubled about my salvation because I get all these bad thoughts about whether I'm saved or not. And it's just like the enemy pounds on my head with this stuff. And after a while, I just kind of like, you know, I get frustrated dealing with it.
Well, Dennis, let me tell you an experience I had and hope this will help. And when I was about 15 or 16 years old, and I know you're older than that, but when I was that way, I came home on a Sunday night, and I'm telling you what, I started thinking, oh, man, am I going to hell? Am I going to hell? Have I done everything that I needed to do in order to know Jesus and to be saved? And without me knowing it, I think now I look back on it, it was the Holy Spirit of God leading me. And I started saying, and I said this, Lord, if I go to hell, I'm going to go to hell trusting in Jesus. Now, what a statement. I said that out loud in my bed. And all of a sudden, I heard myself say it, and I said, man, person who trusts in Jesus Christ with all of his heart, soul, and mind, hell is not his home. And Dennis, it took care of it. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, let it be settled, and let God get the glory, brother. I hope that helps.
Brother, I went through that. I really did as a young believer. But I would just encourage you. I believe if you've sincerely asked the Lord to save you and you put your faith in Jesus, you're saved. And take God at his word. Let me read you John 5:24. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has passed from death unto life. And another verse I really love, that John 6:40, it says, whoever sees the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life, and I will raise you up at the last day. And so God doesn't lie. Take God at his word.
Amen.
But for those maybe like Dennis that have a little bit of uncertainty, Bert, what is that number? Is it
888-NEED-HIM? 888-NEED-HIM, and they can help you.
Exactly. So thank you, Dennis, for calling, and God be with you. Let's go to Linda in South Carolina. Linda, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you, and thank you for this opportunity to share our prayer request, and thousands are praying with us. I have a dear friend named Kenetha who had cancer 4 years ago, and it was in remission, but she now has two new cancer spots, and she has upcoming tests and things to determine exactly what kind and if anything the doctors can do for. So just keep Kenetha in prayer, please.
We'll do that, Linda.
Thank you.
We want to add Jeff Shambly's daughter to that. Jeff has helped us here. She's in the hospital, and it looks very serious with a tumor close to her heart. So much going on there. So we want to remember Kenetha and her and Jeff's daughter's Devin. We're to next, and we'll pray for this.
We're going to get as many as we can.
Yes.
Mary in Tennessee. Mary, welcome.
Yeah, I was calling about a request for my granddaughter. I had called him last week that my granddaughter had a seizure at school. I still haven't heard anything since that happened. She's 7 years old. She had a couple when she was the preemie in the NICU. She's about 7 years old right now, coming up on her 8th birthday. Her name is Davina. I also wanted to, share Operation Christmas Child, which has been a huge impact on my life. And it's amazing what they're doing, what God has done with their ministry as well.
Amen. Hey, it's worth praying for the Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. Alex, they're similar to AFR in this. When these disasters happen, when Operation Christmas Child, those shoeboxes, they go at places that sometimes we regular folks do it just sharing the gospel can't get in, but they go in there. They're agents of God, aren't they?
They really are. I'm taking notes. We are going to pray for all of these. Let's hear from Diane in Ohio, please. Diane, welcome.
Thank you. Yes, I am experiencing an estrangement from my daughter for reasons that are somewhat unclear. And she has placed some boundaries. She said she just needs space. And she has my three grandsons, and, you know, I'm very, very restricted on the time I get to spend with them. and the other set of grandparents live very close to them and, you know, see them all the time. And it's, you know, she won't even talk about it. And I can't even, you know, ask her to make plans. And, you know, she, there's just,
Man.
So, you know, that, it's just so painful. I'm just so sad.
I'm Diane, sorry.
I can imagine grandparents. There are a lot of grandparents I know that have been hurt that way, Alex.
Amen.
And so, Diane, we're praying for you. Hey, before we go to the next one, Brent's got one that came in. Alex, is all right to go, Brent?
Yes, this one's going to be from Joe in Louisiana. He's asking for prayer for his sister, Hilda. She just turned 80 years old. She has pneumonia.
Okay, Hilda in Louisiana?
Yes.
Okay, got that.
Amen. Ruth in Kansas. Ruth, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys and your program. I'd like to tell you a prayer answered. I was having trouble with sciatica, and it was so bad, my pain pills couldn't stop it. I was thinking going to the hospital, but I called my granddaughter on a Friday, and she talked to me, and she was thinking about me, and she thought about me through the evening and was praying in her mind, but she didn't, you know, she did not outwardly. And in the middle of that night, about 2 a.m. in the morning, my knee popped once, and I could feel pain releasing. In about another hour or two, it popped again, and more pain released. And I was doing so much better the next day. I called her and let her know. And then later on, it just seems like it keeps going away and going away. And now I can even work back in my garden again. I was using a cane just to walk up and down the hall.
Amen, Ruth. God. Amen. Those of you that are hurting, hear Ruth. We had that yesterday with Jacqueline calling in, talking about cancer. And she had it 32 years ago, and she was delivered. And amen, Ruth. Alex, praises help. They really do help us to hear that, doesn't it?
But we rejoice with you, Ruth. We really do. Let's go to Texas. Ellen, last prayer request, then we're going to pray. Ellen, what you got? Hello, Ellen?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yes. I have my niece call me about a young woman that has a 2-year-old daughter and a baby on the way, due in July. Her husband recently passed. Well, it's not her husband, but anyway, the father of the children recently passed away suddenly overnight. No hint of it. And then he was the only provider for the family. And so I just he just needs to navigate all this problem with dealing with her income. She is living, I think, with some family members in a close town, but it was so sudden.
Ellen, well, thank you very much. Man. Thank you.
Hey, before we pray, Brent's got one real quickly, and we'll add this one.
This one came while I was out. It's from Tammy. She's asking, she had called a few months ago about her son had accepted the Lord while in the Army in boot camp and reading his Bible and all that. Well, he stated he wasn't getting much from the church on the base, and he had decided to attend the Mormon church, and he's planning on being baptized there. And she's just asking for prayers for him to
see clearly. Mm. Okay.
See clearly.
Well,
Alex, we haven't got a lot of time. You made a list. Would you pray for these?
Let me start and you close.
Okay.
Is that all
right? That'd be good.
Father, in the name of Jesus, you've heard these prayer requests, and you know everybody's heart. I pray for Kenetha, who's battling cancer. I pray for Jeff Shambly's daughter and her health issues. I pray for Mary, whose granddaughter had been battling seizures, and Diane, estranged from her daughter and grandsons. We rejoice Ruth is feeling better. Lord, we pray for the person whose friend passed away, and especially Tammy's son, that he would not go Mormon, drawing back to Jesus. And Lord, all these requests and more we bring to you.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of being intercessor for individuals. And Father, thank you that Jesus is there at your right hand interceding for us. So we're asking God to make yourself known, and may you get the praise and the glory from us as you work in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Alex, we'll be back tomorrow and we'll continue in the parables. And so look ahead, see what God would do in your life.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.